This is certainly a great audience this morning. Our building is comfortably filled. We had several at the early service this morning. This has already been a great day, and it's good to have each of you. There's only one sad thing about it as I think about it. I just wish I had the time to spend just a few minutes with each of you today to greet you and to talk with you. I know that's not possible, but I just want you to know how much I appreciate your being here. I'll be leaving before the service is over today. I've already observed the Lord's Supper at the first service. I'll be going to Oak Grove to meet with them at their worship service this morning to talk about the Brazil work. And tonight, while Brian is speaking here, Brother Oldham and I will be at the Lucyville congregation to talk to them about the Brazil work. And we want to ask you to especially keep the Brazil work in your prayers and seek opportunities to help us that we might raise those funds as soon as possible. Let me encourage you to be here tonight. I haven't had the privilege of hearing Brian speak yet. He's just been speaking so far when I'm gone. But I'm hearing good reports, and I know that he'll have a great lesson. We encourage you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock if you can possibly be here. You know, sometimes some of the greatest lessons that we learn in a spiritual way are learned by studying things that happen in the physical realm. When we talk about those things that we perhaps understand, or at least we hear about, that have to do with physical life, and then take those principles over into the spiritual realm and apply them, we can learn some great lessons. Our Lord taught like that. In fact, I believe that's one of the reasons that he was such a master teacher. It is that type of approach this morning that we are taking as we study the lesson, spiritual arteriosclerosis. Now, I'm still trying to learn how to spell that word, but I hope that we can understand a little bit about it. When I was a teenager, my grandmother was diagnosed as having arteriosclerosis. I remember thinking about that term a great deal. I heard it. The first time I heard it, I did not understand it at all. I began to ask questions. Living on the adjoining farm to where Pa and Ma Flat lived, and being with them every day, even as a teenager, I was aware that something was happening to my grandmother. I could see that there were some changes taking place, but I did not understand. None of us understood at that point what it was. She was diagnosed as having arteriosclerosis. When I asked questions, I had it further explained to me that that meant the hardening of the arteries, that there was a buildup in the walls of the arteries to where the vessels were not as large as they had normally been, and that because of that, the proper amount of oxygen could not get to the brain, and so the entire body, the entire personality was being affected. I began to do a little bit of research at that time into that disease that I might understand it a bit better. And from that time until my grandmother died in 1970, I tried to read some on the subject, at least to be able to understand what was happening to her. I think all of us may have experienced this approach to some extent, because in almost every family, maybe in every family, someone is affected by this disease. And it is suggested that all of us may be affected to some degree, in that there is some buildup and that there will be some change in our lives because of that as we grow older. This morning, I want to think with you for a few minutes about what happens when that disease is present, and then bring it over into the spiritual realm and think about that for a moment. You see, the Bible talks about the hardening of the heart or the circulatory system. Well, we need to realize that when we're talking about the spiritual heart, we're not talking about this blood pump. We're not talking about the circulatory system in which there are literally miles of vessels in the physical body. But we're talking about the spiritual heart. We're talking about that heart with which a man thinks, Proverbs 23:7. He reasons, Luke 5:22. He's able to understand, Matthew 13:15, and to believe, Romans 10:10. What we've just described is sometimes called the intellectual side of man. We're talking about the heart with which a man is able to love the Lord his God, Matthew 22:37 through 40. With which he's able to trust in the Lord with all of his heart, Proverbs 3:5. To have, as Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved, Romans 10, verse 1. And to think in terms of Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. What might be described as the emotional side of man is described by using the word heart. We also have in mind that which makes it possible for a man to purpose in his heart to give, 2 Corinthians 9:7. To determine or to decree, 1 Corinthians 7:37. And even to obey from the heart that form of doctrine delivered, Romans 6, verse 17. It is that side of man, it is that spiritual part of man that we might more usually call the mind. And what takes place in the mind that is described in the Bible as being the spiritual heart. Now with that in mind, listen to Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another daily, he says in that verse, that we might not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Now the subject before us this morning is a scriptural subject when we're talking about the hardening of the heart, or the hardening of that system that has to do with the heart, physically speaking, and then applied in the spiritual realm. You may remember, I'm sure many of you do, that Jesus said in Matthew 13, 15, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now notice two words particularly in that verse. The word waxed, that's a type of hardening. And then the word heal, which suggests that there is some kind of disease or illness here that needs to be addressed, where there needs to be some care and something done that there might be some healing. This people's heart is waxed gross. What's happening? There is the spiritual hardening of what we might call the circulatory system, of the spiritual heart and the spiritual arteries. And there is the need of healing. There is the need of something being done that we might be able to overcome that type of illness. As I have studied this disease, this physical disease, for the past several years, I've determined that there are at least five things that happen when one has arteriosclerosis. These five are somewhat related, and in mentioning some of them, you may think that it's renaming the same thing. But listen to what's involved in this disease. Number one, it is suggested, and evidence is there, that the senses become dull. I remember in my grandmother's case particularly that her taste was not even as it had been before. Her taste buds changed. Even that sense of taste changed to where things that she had liked before she did not prefer now. Her seeing changed. Her hearing. And even her speech. There were times in the last few years of her life that she did not talk like she had before. She did not talk as much as she had before. And understanding a little bit about the disease helped me to understand that this was what was happening to her. That her senses that had been sharp earlier in life were now not as sharp. They were becoming dulled because of the effect of this illness. Number two, a person with arteriosclerosis doesn't think clearly. Sometimes a person who has been very sharp intellectually in the earlier years of life and has been able to approach things in a very organized, detailed way will now not be able to do that because that person does not think clearly. Sometimes the evidence is that there's very little thinking, if any at all, when one is in the advanced stages of this disease. Number three, a person with this disease doesn't listen as one used to listen. Now, I must admit that there are those of us who do not have arteriosclerosis who have this problem. My wife would probably tell you that I'm an expert on it as far as practice is concerned. But it is one of the characteristics and one of the symptoms that goes with the disease before us today, the one that we're considering. A person just doesn't listen. You may have had the experience of talking to someone who's suffering from that disease. You're looking right at them, even have eye contact, and realize that the person isn't hearing a word that you are saying. They just don't listen like they formerly did. In the fourth place, they have a tendency to lose touch with reality, to where their feelings are not as they used to be. My grandmother and grandfather Flatt lived together for 64 years, only had 13 children, 62 years in the same house, and in their last few years, they had some of the greatest arguments that you ever heard. There was no doubt that they loved each other, and yet sometimes as I listened to them there in those last few years, if I had not known the situation, I would have wondered. I know of no one that had more love for her family than my grandmother. No one who cared about their needs anymore had the practice of getting up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to begin breakfast. And though this disease affected her in other ways, it didn't affect that point. She continued that as long as she lived. But in those last few years, she did not have the same care for her family. She did not ask the same questions about their welfare. She sort of lost touch with reality. She wasn't aware of what was going on around her as much as she was before. Lose touch with reality, and the feelings are not as sharp as they once were. And then the fifth symptom, the fifth characteristic that usually goes along with that disease is forgetting easily. And here again, I must admit that some of us have trouble with that earlier in life. But usually an older person who's suffering from arteriosclerosis will remember what happened 50 or 60 years ago, but cannot tell you what happened 5 minutes ago. The reason for that is, evidently, that section of the brain that records for the memory was working back in earlier life, but now the disease has taken its toll, and that memory system is not working as it once was, and the person either doesn't record or doesn't remember very long that which is recorded, and they forget very easily. Five symptoms that are usually present with that disease. Now, so far, basically, we're talking in the physical realm. The senses are dulled. One doesn't think too clearly. One doesn't listen well. One is not interested in reality and doesn't have very many feelings about what's going on around in the circumstances of the time. And one forgets very easily. Now, I think you already see, without my saying anything else, why I say this applies in the spiritual realm. And particularly when we have looked at these passages here that deal with the hardness of the heart and the warning that's given that we not let our spiritual hearts become hardened. Isn't it possible that too many of us either have or are developing spiritual arteriosclerosis? Let's look at those five symptoms now from a spiritual standpoint. The senses are dulled. Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 12. But when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Notice they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many times in the last few months have you heard someone say, or maybe have said yourself, that we are allowing ourselves to be brainwashed into accepting evil as being good and not standing against sin like we should, or maybe even like we once did? Is it possible that even our taste for the good spiritual food that comes from the Word of God can be dulled to where our taste buds are not working as they should? To where our spiritual eyesight is not really looking in to discern the difference between good and evil? Where all of our other senses become somewhat dull and we're not as sharp? in using our senses to discern between good and evil and to live for God in the way that he wants us to live for him. Number two, one with arteriosclerosis doesn't think clearly. In fact, sometimes just doesn't think. As I think back over the last few weeks and months, I remember being present in several conversations where the subject was, you know, I just don't believe that person thought about that before he did what he did. Sometimes when we look at what's done by those who are supposed to be Christians, and maybe even being honest, when we look at what we ourselves do, we wonder if we really think things through. A lot is said about the ignorance that we have, the many things we need to learn. I tell you what really concerns me is whether we're doing what we know to do with what we already know. I really believe we know better sometimes than we act. Why do people do as they do? Why do they act as they do? I suggest to you that it may be spiritual arteriosclerosis in the sense that they just don't think before they act. It is said of the apostles in Mark 16:14 that Jesus upbraided them and criticized them because of their unbelief. And as you study the context, it just sort of seems to flow out of that, that one of their problems was they did not think clearly. They were associated with Jesus. They had heard his teaching. They of all people should have understood the nature of the kingdom and the purpose for the coming of Christ and the purpose of his death. And yet, they seemingly did not believe as they should, did not have the strong faith that they should. I suggest to you one of the reasons was they just did not think about it. Think things through. You and I would learn to stop and think before we act. Maybe we would not say some of the things we say and do some of the things we do. We just don't use our hearts, our thinking part of it, as we sometimes should. And then in the third place, the characteristic is that they don't listen. Oh, how this applies to so many of us. And I perhaps am as guilty or more guilty than any of you. I think one of my reasons for not listening is I like to talk so well. Usually when you're talking, I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say when you get through, and sometimes don't even let you get through before I start talking. But even in a service like this, sometimes we don't listen. I'm amazed. And how people can sit in an audience like this and, for example, an announcement can be made about something and the next day that person will ask a question about that same thing. And you'll say, well, it was announced yesterday. Well, I didn't hear it. Folks, where's our listening? When God's Word is being read, when it is being taught, whoever it is teaching it, you and I need, as we sometimes pray, to cast everything else out of our minds and to think about what's being said. It's not important that I'm in the pulpit this morning. It's important that God's Word is in the pulpit. And when we are praying, we pray for those things that are important. When we observe the Lord's Supper, do we listen to what is being said? Or have we allowed ourselves to develop a degree of spiritual arteriosclerosis and just sort of stop our ears and turn our ears, as indicated in Proverbs 28:9 and Isaiah 33:15. It seems that a person can just stop up his ears if he wants to and not hear anything that's going on. Sometimes that may be by choice, but in the disease and under the circumstances of the disease that we're discussing, it's because of that. And that can happen too many times in the spiritual realm. And then there is the point of not being in touch with reality and one's feelings just not involved as they should be. It hurts. And in passing, let me make a point here that's important in our families. We need to realize when a loved one is affected by this disease physically, that it may cause that person to change personality and not really be the person that they were before. Sometimes some of the things that are said by a person who's suffering from that disease will hurt. And we as family and friends must realize what's happening. And it helps if we can realize what's happening. But now back to the spiritual side of it. Are we allowing ourselves in the church to get to the point that we do not feel for one another as we ought to? We blame it on being too busy, but is that really it? A few minutes ago in our prayer, we thank God for the blessings of living in a small town in West Tennessee, and I believe there are many blessings associated with that. In a small town like this, we live most of the time in walking distance of the funeral home, and yet a friend can die, and how many of us go by to let the family know that we care? When there is an illness, do we have the time, 5 minutes, to sit down and take a card and sign it and address it? Or 5 or 10 minutes to pick up a telephone and call to see what the circumstances are? Or maybe 30 minutes just to go by and visit, if nothing more to say, may I help? Is there something that I can do? Folks, is it possible that most of us are suffering from this disease of spiritual arteriosclerosis to where we're unable to weep with those that weep and even to rejoice with those that rejoice? When there is a new baby, when there is a wedding, when there is a promotion, when there is something good, as the family of God's people with our friends and families, look how things are changing in our times to where we just don't take the time. And I believe it may very well be that we don't put forth the effort more than we don't take the time to express our feelings one to another. And then that idea of forgetting. In James 1, 22 through 25, he talks about a man who looks at himself in the glass, the mirror, and then goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. How easy it is for us to study God's Word and to listen to God's Word and then turn right around and forget what He said. Again, I go back and emphasize something I said earlier. I believe one of our biggest problems is doing what we know is right. Not having to learn what is right, but doing what we know is right. There may be several reasons for that, but one of them is we just forget. Oh, I intended to do that, but you know I forgot. I intended to do this or that or the other in the Lord's service, but I just forgot. I believe that it's spiritual arteriosclerosis that's setting in, to where our senses become dull, we don't think as clearly as we should, we do not listen to one another to better understand one another, we lose touch with the feelings of others, and we tend to forget what's happening about us. Now, it may be possible that any one of us or any number of us can develop the physical disease and not do much about it. But folks, we can do something about the spiritual disease. We can clear up the circulatory system, spiritually speaking. We can soften that hardened spot that's in the spiritual heart. And we can awaken and be more sensitive to one another and express more care and be more involved if we want to. This is something over which we do have control. And it's high time that we controlled it. One of the verses that we quoted earlier in describing the spiritual heart was Romans 6:17. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered. That doctrine is described in the earlier part of that chapter. And our obedience is described as dying to sin, being buried in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. If you need to soften your heart in obedience this morning, even as a Christian, if you've allowed yourself to develop this disease to some extent and you need to soften your heart again and get your heart right with God, remember it is something you can control with the help of Christ. And while we pray and while we plead, we encourage you to come to Him if that's your need this morning as we stand.
While we pray and while we plead, while you see your soul's deep need, while your Father calls you home, will you not, my brother, come? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God your face, but today accept His grace. Why not now? Why not now? to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. From day to day, He will keep you all the way. Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
Be seated, please. Song before the Lord's Supper this morning will be number 523. 523.
Was on that night when doom to know the eager rage of